welcome to Film Kid Asks, the podcast where I ask questions to working professionals in the film industry from the perspective of someone just getting started. My name is Jordan, and today I'm joined by Hannah Cheeseman, an actor, writer, and director. You can see her in Schitt's Creek and Star Trek Discovery. She's written on shows like Working Moms and Find Me in Paris, and she's directed several short films. Her film Sucker is premiering at the Toronto International Film Festival. Thank you so much for coming on the show, Hannah.
Yeah, my pleasure. Nice to be here.
So you're an actor, writer, and director, but before we dive into all of the nitty-gritty of those roles, what originally drew you to film?
I started in theater. I went to the National Theater School in Montreal, and I started in dance, then I moved to theater, and then it's a few things. Like, you know, film kind of dominated my upbringing in a big way, you know, like even more than TV, feature films. And to be honest, it was like one of those things where I had always written and acted and felt like theater was a really expensive hobby, whereas the possibility of potentially making a living felt like it was more feasible in film and TV. And frankly, just more like it's the era. It was the era of film and TV. It was no longer the era of theater. Basically, I made the pivot and then didn't look back, to be honest.
That completely makes sense. So what sparked the original idea for Sucker? And can you walk me through your process of writing it?
Yes, sure. I was catfished. So I was online, and I was online dating, and I had a really intense connection with this guy. And I was super excited to meet him in person. And it was so weird. Like, it was so fun and funny and like kind of sexy. And like, we had set up this time to meet on this Thursday at 7 p.m. and like, no, on a Sunday. And I remember I was with my friends, and I was telling them about how excited I was to meet this guy. And we were talking, which is not like me. We were talking like 2 hours a day, like on and off on like texting and stuff. And I won't get totally into the story and like how I was catfished, because I didn't expect to be. But long story short, after being like, he didn't give me his phone number, and we were texting on various other mediums, and then he canceled on me twice for like family reasons. And I was all like, cool, family comes first, boundaries, this and that. And then when I realized that something was amiss, and I looked up like, how do you know you're being catfished? And then all of these things came up, and there was like a reverse Google search for images. And I put in some images he had sent me, and then turns out that it's like a football player who's 21 from the UK. And I'm like, what does this person want? Like, they haven't asked for money. So what do they want? And so I confronted him, and he didn't respond. Like, it was the night we were supposed to meet up, didn't respond, nothing. And when I realized I'd been catfished, I felt like a total moron. And I wrote down all of my feelings, like wrote them down, because I knew, I was like, this is going to be a story. So I wrote down just jot notes, like I felt stupid, I felt ashamed, I felt sad, shocked, upset, like all these negative things. And then I was like, well, okay, there's a lot of interesting, dark, shadowy feelings in this, so I'm going to write something about it. And it was kind of my way to have a bit of catharsis for it. And what I did from there is I wrote it in prose, like my idea, because I had been talking to my family about it. Because I share everything. And my sister's boyfriend was like, he was the subject of catfishing. Like, he was once used as the image of a catfisher. And it was between two friends. And then I was like, well, there's the story. So I wrote it out as a story about best friends. And there were some women actors I wanted to work with. So I wrote to Dara Campbell being like, here's my idea. Would you be open to this? And then literally from idea to her to first day of shooting was 3 weeks.
That's crazy. Wow.
It's so crazy.
Yeah. So how was that writing process, especially so quickly?
Yeah. So, I mean, I was pretty jazzed on the idea, and I was also jazzed that Dara said yes. So I worked quickly, and basically what I did was I wrote it out in prose, and then Dara gave me her feedback, and she was like, I like it, I'm down. She had a few questions, and then I was like, okay, so I'm going to give myself 2 days, and I'm going to write out a first draft, and I did. And then I just like got feedback. Like, I got my producer on board, Coral Aiken, right away. She gave me feedback. Dara gave me feedback. We got our next actor, and we went into ACTRA the next week because it was a union shoot. And I just kept revising. And because I trust Dara as both an actor, but also she's a big intellect, She makes her own films as well. So I trusted her opinion and points of view. And also, like, this film is completely in my voice. Like, it's in my sense of comedy, sense of darkness, my interest in feminism and women. So I just didn't second guess myself. Like, what I found funny, I was like, it's funny. I'm just going to go with it. And kept revising.
So how does this kind of process of writing, especially something so personal, but also short films, differ from writing in a writer's room? Because you've done that as well.
Yeah, it's totally different. Writer's rooms are completely collaborative and also very hierarchical at the same time. You know, you have your showrunner who leads the march, and it's like the culture of a writer's room is totally dependent on them. It's very top down. So it's either great, bad, okay, toxic, you name it. And so this was not as collaborative, you know, like I had a lot more control. Also, I wasn't like doing this for anybody's sake other than my own. So, you know, like I think any of us, all of us who make films or short films, like the beauty of it is that you really get to exercise and practice your own vision and voice. And so that's what that was. Whereas you're at the service of something when you're doing a writer's room. And the only time that I really found writer's rooms to be kind of really self-expressive was in the actual writing of the scripts. That's where you get to have, sure, you're writing in a voice or a character's voices, but that's the moment that your creativity is given a chance and a platform to shine.
Yeah, that totally makes sense. So what are some of the things that you've learned in your work as an actor that you've brought into your approach to directing actors, especially like while shooting this project?
So I'm someone who really likes, especially in comedies, like this one for me is very clearly like it has comedic elements, but it also has a lot of drama as well. So whenever there's comedy, though, I find that if you have good actors, which is always the big if, that the best thing to do is to get all of the lines as written, get feedback from the actors to be like, does this fit your mouth? Does this fit your understanding of things? Like, for me, that's important on something that is mine. I'm more collaborative in a lot of ways because I like to be, because I handpick the people I'm working with and it's my own. But what I'll always do is ask for improv as well. Like if the moment calls for it, or, you know, there's a scene that we deleted in the editing and Michaela, who's very good at being, cause I just worked with her on another project. She's very good at being emotional and like tapping into deep emotional wells, but she just wasn't there for that day. Like it came together so quickly, the whole thing. And so I was like, don't be sad, be angry, like go a different direction with it. So I try to make the actors feel safe and that no matter what they do, their performances will be good. And I mean, my hope is that because I'm also a fellow actor, that I have some kind of like empathetic trust with them, where they'll trust me because I've been there and I'm not very good at being emotional on screen. Like crying is not a skill of mine. So yeah, I think improv is always an important thing to do if opportunity allows.
Yeah, that's really interesting. So, I mean, the performances in the film feel very natural and genuine. Is there any advice you could give on trying to find those small human moments with the actors and directing for that sensibility, especially as student filmmakers? Because I feel like it can be sometimes really hard to draw more naturalistic human things out of actors at this stage.
Totally. Which is also, you know, not necessarily just a limitation of directing or writing. It's a limitation of the actors that you have and hire. And that's very real. What I did was I also, like, they hadn't really spent time together, those two leads. And so I took them out for like a hangout beforehand, just so that we could be personal together and, you know, ask questions outside of it. But also then naturally stuff comes up about the script. So you start dissecting the script anyway in a social environment, which feels safe and good and sort of like some of the homework that, you know, can be done. And in terms of directing on the day, you know, you can't always work against what your actors are giving you. You know, sometimes people have their limitations, so you have to work within them and only push them insofar as they're capable of going. And I think embracing that rather than resenting it is a big help, because, you know, in student films, you might not have great performers. And so what can you do to make it feel authentic to them so that it feels like them and it doesn't feel like they're performing something, that they're reaching really hard? Like, how do you bring it as close to their skin as possible, I would say.
I think that's great advice. So how do you go about cultivating a positive and productive set environment on a short film where generally there isn't as much shooting time and relationships can sometimes be condensed, especially like, as you said, your main actors hadn't even met each other?
Yeah. Sometimes I think that that's a real gift, that like there's fatigue that can happen on long shoots. There can be like wonderful relationships that are born of long-term projects. But I think that, like, again, it's like embrace what you have and try and fly with it and go with it. And I feel like if you have less experience, you're going to be more insecure, and that's just a part of it. I'm a believer in faking it till you make it. And I think also, you know, it's different now that I have more experience, I think, than when I was doing my first one. Like my first one, frankly, like I was just trying my best, and that's what you do. You just try your best. But with my later ones, like I try and make a lot of jokes. Like I'm comfortable in comedy and in making jokes. And one of my things is like, I like people feeling good around me. That's an enjoyable thing for me. It's like a cycle that feeds back to me. You know, when I see other people are feeling good, it makes me feel good too. And then it just continues to perpetuate. So for me, that's important. And I don't know, I think that it's important for each person to identify the things that give them juice, give them energy, and then to use that on set, because that's going to be different for everybody. You know, maybe people are really good at being very serious directing and like getting like really artsy moments. I don't know, you know, but like, if that's your skill, then like go with it.
Yeah, for sure. That makes sense. So Sucker looks at the sometimes complicated nature of female friendships. What drew you to that subject matter? Because it's something that, you know, as you said, you approach feminism a lot in your film. So what drew you to that kind of female friendship dynamic?
Yeah. I think, you know, I like comedy and I like intimacy and I like darkness. Like these are some of the things that really get me going and that I'm interested always in. Like thematically, it comes up in various ways in all of my work, I think. And I mean, I'm like an ardent feminist, you know, like that's just a part of stuff that I'm interested in pushing in a political way. So that's kind of always there for me. And I'm also interested in the ways that like female friendships are imperfect and challenging and wonderful and supportive. And I'm always interested in the shadow parts of things that don't always get said or expressed or get poorly expressed, as in the case within this short, I would say. I think that, did I answer your question? I don't know.
I think so.
One more thing is what happened after Dara took a read of it. She was like, oh, this kind of reminds me of Phantom Thread. And when she said that, it sort of really clarified things for me about the way that the nature of this relationship, that one of them is actually doing a negative thing out of love, maybe, you know, and that was something that I really helped, just like that kind of reference.
Yeah, that's really interesting, because actually saying that, I can totally see why she drew that connection. Mm-hmm. So kind of switching gears a little bit back to some more advice. Do you have any advice for student writers specifically, but also directors working on short films that have a really low budget?
Yeah, right. I mean, it's probably all the things that everybody already knows, which is like try and limit your spaces. If you're indoors, it's going to require lighting, especially if you're shooting at night. And otherwise, you know, exteriors at specific times of day are good, weather permitting. Yeah. And I think, you know, just remember that the scope of what you're doing, often the most effective films don't always follow many days, you know, often it is a small slice of life, and whatever story you're interested in, winnow it down and make the focus smaller and smaller and smaller until you have the very kernel of what it is that interests you about it. And, just do that.
Yeah, that's great advice. You're directing a feature, a thriller right now. Can you talk a little bit about how that process has differed from the short films that you've done and maybe how it's differed from your previous feature film?
My previous feature film was like, you know, a very collaborative thing that spanned 2.5 years because we had no money. Whereas this one, you know, is so different because I didn't write it. I was hired to do it. The creative I found challenging. And I felt it was my job to elevate it. And then from there, you just, like the actual shooting of it, I just wrapped a week ago. And it's hard for me to do things that don't come from the heart, you know? So that was challenging to make it feel important and vital to me, where it didn't always. And so what I did do is I rewrote half of it in the 3 weeks preceding it. And I feel like I made it better. But there's just like a lot more moving parts, but shorts have been absolutely vital to getting me to a place where I felt at least that I could approach this kind of a version of filmmaking and feel like I had a fighting chance at making something interesting or good. And so I feel like we'll see if I was successful at making this creative project stronger.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, and I think that's important is as something to keep in mind as student filmmakers is there's going to be a lot of opportunities, whether that be commercial work or whatever, where you might not have that same creative investment. So do you have, you know, obviously barring rewrites and stuff, is there any other advice that you could give for, you know, getting yourself invested into those projects, even if they're not the most creatively enriching and fulfilling?
Certainly visually, you know, like who's the DP or camera person you're working with and what are your references that you can like literally source, watch a million films and pull stills and be like this color palette and this lighting and this mood and this style of editing and this wide frame cut to a super close up. That's the kind of work I want to do. And, you know, sometimes it's about more developing a tone than creating a piece that you inherently love and believe in, especially if you're not rewriting it in any capacity. And what style of performance, like all of those things can be tweaked at least so that you have like a grounding of something that feels true to you. Like that's definitely one of the ways I did this was like very clear work with my DP and what we were working for and how we were making it darker, literally and figuratively. And hiring, well, I guess this is different if you're doing a student film, but hiring performers who I felt could and did bring something different and interesting to it. Push against the material, like straight up, just like don't do the obvious with the writing, like do something different. And then, you know, I mean, this is my opinion, but on the day, if something's not working, get them to say it a different way.
That's awesome. A lot of that is very practical and great advice. And I mean, even like just using it as trying out a creative technique or something so that you can bring that forward into personal projects, I think could be awesome. So as this is an industry that is all about connections and the people that you know, how do you think students can start to build those connections and how did you go about doing that?
I would say like, you know, if you're committed and you really want to do this, just start doing it. Start as a PA on something, reach out, get outside of the student bubble only, get outside of it. These will be friends of yours and collaborators, maybe forever, maybe not, to be seen. Obviously, if you feel strong connections with people in your class, absolutely foster that. But, you know, I met a 20-year-old when I was in Sudbury and she was like a locations PA, but she was so clear about like the ways that she was going to infiltrate the Toronto system. And she's just going to do the work because, you know, like you just put in the time and you start wherever you can. And then the other thing is absolutely for me and the kind of person I am in this, make your own work, you know? And if you're not a writer and that's not for you, find the people who do write that you can turn something into. But I really think like making your own stuff is what's going to change your career. I absolutely do. And then, you know, showing up, being a PA or being a locations manager or being like all of these things, like just start somewhere and keep going.
Yeah. Practical advice. But I think it's a good reminder. What do you feel, I guess, is the most important part of the process on a project? And you can get specific to Sucker or you can just talk generally, but you know, is it the casting? Is it the prep? Is it putting the crew together? Is it the production or post-production? Where do you think is like the most important part and where the story gets told the most?
The script. I mean, if you don't have that, you don't have anything. That's my opinion. And, you know, it's like you can dress something up as much as you want, but if it's not strong at its core, you cannot direct terrible script into something great. It's just not possible. So that just means like pre-pro. Push your writer, figure it out, find your touch points, your references. If something's not working, like what's the feature film or the short film that is similar to it that you can steal from and, you know, use and recycle. But I also come from like a writing background, so I think I'm a bit biased. You know, if you had like a straight up director, as I'm sure you do, come on to talk about things, like they might have a different opinion, but that's 100% my opinion.
I mean, I think you're right in that. It's been interesting asking different people because there definitely are different answers, but no, for sure, the script is so incredibly important. What is your personal favorite part of the process?
Ooh. Well, when it's my own work, it's writing it and then making myself laugh with certain things where it's like it feels like it's in somebody's voice and I can really feel the moment between characters. And then after that, it's like probably being on set and when you actually can direct something into a moment where it sings, where it feels right, where it's like this intuitive sensed, like knowing, like we got it there, it's in there, it's in the can. That's the best thing. And it doesn't always happen with every project, you know?
So. Yeah. So I have one last question before I open it up to a few of my friends. And it's one last bit of advice from you. What advice would you give to someone who is just starting their career now and is aspiring to be a writer director or an actor director or some combination of more than one thing?
You are around in the right time in history because, you know, being a multi-hyphenate with affordable modes of making films means that you can. And it's interesting. It's interesting seeing friends of mine who have been fairly faithful to a certain path, and then someone like me who's been really unfaithful and done many things. And I will say that there is some very clear success with like some writer friends of mine who have they started as, you know, story room assistants, and then they've been story coordinators, and then they've been junior story editors, and now they are story editors, and now they're, you know, consulting producers. So like there is definitely a focused track that does work and maybe works better. I don't know. But if you're someone who's a multi-hyphenate, it means that you can probably get stuff done more. What I will say is that for my friends who have followed that track, they have far fewer personal projects than me. And for someone like me who wants to be, yes, a gigging director, you know what I mean, for TV and stuff, but ultimately my heart lies in the work that I write and direct. Like, it's a gift, and try and do many hats until you don't have to anymore if you don't want to. But yeah, it's a great timing to be a multi-hyphenate. So I don't know. I just think like embrace that and do things cheaply and just make. If you don't, like the bottom line is just make stuff, get stuff produced, whether it's you producing it or other people, because that's how I built a career, period. And then meeting a few choice people along the way. And then those relationships were tested and some of them survived and some of them didn't. It's going to be bumpy and shitty and uncomfortable. And that's what a life is though, right?
Yes. Awesome. I mean, yeah, there's been so much great advice. I'm now going to open it up to a few of my friends and let them ask some questions.
I do. I actually caught Emmy like years ago.
Yes.
Totally random. And I actually just had a question for you. I noticed that Emmy was like obviously part of the NSI, the National Screen Institute. I'm just so dumbfounded. How does that work? Like, how do you, because I think you had funding for Emmy on like the Bravo Fact, kind of now defunct, you know, it's over. But I was just wondering how did that come about and how does that work? If you know, I don't know if you know.
Like the NSI stuff?
Yeah, like National Screen Institute. Like, I mean, was it like part of the, I don't know how films get on to like National Screen Institute or are publicized by the National Screen Institute. I mean, do you know how that works or how you were able to do that with Emmy and onwards?
I mean, I don't know, correct me if I'm wrong, but is NSI still a thing or did it also like
dissolve? No, it's still, I'm pretty sure it's like.
It might be their online film festival that has ended.
Right, okay, so that's what it was through. Okay, so Emmy was through the actual online film festival. Okay, cool.
Yes, and I literally just applied. And I think though I had also had a bit of a relationship with them, which again, I mean, I guess that's a lot of what this is relationships and relationship building. But what I will say, if there's any advice in all of that with like deadlines and that kind of a thing, even if it's like a lab or, you know, a film festival deadline, use those deadlines to create your work. Like I will use them if I'm like, oh, I need to have a treatment done to turn into a feature film. And there's like a funding body that has a deadline on October 8th. So there's my deadline, you know? So, I mean, that's just turning your question that I think is unfortunately just like Bravo Fact now become freaking defunct, is, you know, to use those deadlines. They've always helped me to orient my self-driven work.
That makes sense. Does anyone else have a question?
Just out of curiosity. So with Sucker, or I don't know if my pronunciation is okay. And, you know, your relationship, I mean, now that we're on the topic of relationships, your relationship with TIFF, you know, and having that film be screened at TIFF, do you find that your previous relationships with TIFF on maybe your other work might have in some way contributed to your, you know, admittance into the festival? Do you think that if you were to recommend, let's say, to students, et cetera, who are obviously looking into our films and our future, and ideally, of course, having their own film screen at TIFF, do you have any tips or advice for, you know, not just applying, of course, and doing the best thing, you know, making the best work you can, but anything that you can give us that way? Like any tip, relationships, people you met, things to look out for?
Totally. Yeah, I mean, do I think that my previous relationship with them helped? Yes. Do I think the fact that I'm on their radar helps? Yes. You know, I think that consistently applying with stuff helps. And I mean everything. I mean their labs. I mean just having your name come across various tables at all turns so that they know that you're a going concern year after year is very important. I think also because the stuff that I had in TIFF, like I was an actor. That was my first experience with TIFF. I was in a feature film as an actor. And then, and I worked that, like I fucking showed up and I went to parties and I spoke to programmers and I met them. And then I applied again the next year with one of my shorts and I didn't get it, but I got a little like, here's a free pass to see all the things that year. And then I did a producer's pitch this, which where I pitched, you know, they have this like pitch this thing where they select five movies in development or at script phase and you go on stage and you pitch it. And it's a bit of a dog and pony show, but the thing is at least they knew me, you know, and I've never been accepted in any of their labs and they've never had me as like a TIFF filmmaker of any kind. And it feels shitty and I feel like I'm worthless and like I'm not good enough. But, you know, I think there's a few strategies at play. It was like, they do know me, even if they never supported me in that capacity, and leveraging other relationships to be like, hey, just so you know, I've applied with this, you know, because I already know the programmer of such and such a program, just to be like, obviously don't expect any special treatment, but you know who I am. So, just so you know, keep an eye out. And then, you know, down the line, as you develop your career and you develop more relationships and relationships with interesting performers, do I think it was a bad thing that we have two former TIFF rising stars as leads? No. So, you know, all that stuff helps. Do I think ultimately that that's the reason this got in? I've already done five shorts and none of them got in. So...
Thank you for your candidness on that too. Thank you so much. I mean, so many times that you'd ask a question like that, like... and the fact that you answered, you were like, you know, do I think that maybe all those factors might have helped? Absolutely. And that sometimes you get like blanketed responses where they're like, oh, you know, we worked really hard or blah, blah, blah. Thank you for being honest about that and definitely saying that in some way that the status, et cetera, does help.
Yeah. And it's not just the status. I mean, it is absolutely. But I also think it's a question of like, are they in it to win it? Are they in for the lifelong haul? Because their stamp of approval is a piece of support that like, if I was to be like, you know what, I'm going to go become a holistic doctor next year instead, it's kind of like a wasted ticket. Do you know what I mean? So also proving, that's what I mean about showing up every year and being like, oh, they've applied for the last 4 years in a row. Like, I guess they mean it, you know, and a commitment to storytelling. You know what I mean? A commitment to that. And I've heard someone say that before to me, a director being like, obviously you're committed to storytelling. And I was like, interesting. I guess people look out for that, you know?
No, that's great advice. I actually got one that was messaged in and it was about writing comedy. And so basically they were just asking if you had any tips as far as like, do you run by, because sometimes it can be hard to tell if something's funny just to you or if it's actually funny. Do you have tips like as far as like what your process is? Do you run it by people? Do you wait for rehearsals? Like what, how do you make sure that what you think is funny is actually funny?
Well, what I do a lot of the time is, you know, I have a sister who's known me since I was a child and we are very different and she does not work in the entertainment industry at all, but I can tell through her when something is working or not working. We have somewhat similar sense of humor, but because she knows me, she can tell when I'm reaching too far and it's like a bit try hard, and she can tell when she's like, lol, this part is amazing and this part not so much. And she doesn't know scripts, but she knows me. And I think if you have a knack or an interest in comedy, it's probably the same with drama, but like you have to follow and pursue your own voice. It has to feel funny to you. First and foremost, it has to feel funny to you and grow that trust, that instinct as much as you can. And then I bring it past people who I trust, who know me more than anything.
Awesome. So I did ask for you to prepare 5 film recommendations. So now I'm going to get you to share what you chose and why you chose those.
The Square, which is a, what is, where is he from? Sweden. He's a Swedish filmmaker. He also did, what is it? Avalanche? I can't remember. The Square. The Square is fantastic. It showed at TIFF. It showed it like it won something at Cannes. It is biting social commentary, very funny, very uncomfortable, airtight writing with, like, I think airtight directing, and also a scene in the Square that I think is probably the most exciting thing I've seen on film, which I think is actually interestingly very theatrical, like very much comes from the theater world. So I thought that was really interesting, worth watching. Holy Motors, by a French filmmaker. It's all like a series of vignettes following this one very talented French actor, but it also has like Eva Mendes in it. And it's just like a true exercise, I think, in creativity and in sort of off the wall imagination and conception of ideas. Like it just blew my mind. Under the Skin by Jonathan Glazer. It stars Scarlett Johansson. It came out like 8 or 9 years ago, I think. And when I watched it, which was only a few years ago for the first time, I was like, oh, this is like changed the way I think about filmmaking. And what's interesting too, is that it's an adaptation, I think, from a short film or a novel. And apparently he took grand artistic liberties with it and turned it into something completely different. And it's also Scarlett Johansson, unlike I've ever seen her. And I'm not a huge Scarlett Johansson fan by any means, but this is like dark and fucking visually amazing. And I'm not a very visual filmmaker. I'm like a writer, talker, you know. I would also say Victoria, which is a German film that is one shot, and it's actually amazing not just by virtue of it being one shot, but by the performances. It is so heart-wrenching, it's so powerful. I mean, like, talk about a tour de force for the actors, but it's just like, if you want to have gut punch, sadness, emotion, romance, thrilling action, and also like Berlin clubs, it's worth watching. And I sort of vacillate between, I'm gonna say Tree of Life. I feel like Terrence Malick, like, people obviously love Terrence Malick, but I know this one is sort of less adored or is like more contentious or whatever, but for me it was like really emotional and powerful and profound, and I think he does like a really interesting sort of exploration visually, lots of wide lenses, super close up. It starts from like the beginning of time into like this small story slice of life about a family and a boy growing up in a family. But I also think for me, I had a father who was a jazz musician and grew up in a similar situation with a very hard father who had PTSD from the war and all these things. So I think I just like emotionally am very drawn to that storyline, and it really hurt. So those are my films.
Great. Well, thank you so much for sharing. And thanks to those of you who asked questions. But that is all for this episode of Film Kid Asks. Be sure to subscribe and feel free to follow us on Twitter and Instagram or join our Facebook group. New episodes come out every Saturday.